Hey, Masters Universe, Brooks here for the Masters Podcast. We have another two-part episode coming at you. So this week's topic, defunct rides at Walt Disney World. That's right, we hit all four parks, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, or MGM Studios, depending on what year you're talking about, and Animal Kingdom. We got talking about this and quickly realized this had to be a two-part episode. So part one is releasing now, and part two will be coming out later on this week. So stay tuned, grab your favorite mouse ears, and let's get into that episode. And cue that intro.
Podcast, your go-to source for all things travel, but mostly Disney, sponsored by Fairytale Journeys Travel. Whether you're a first-time visitor or a pro at the parks, we're here to bring you the latest news, insider secrets, and fun stories from the happiest and most magical places on Earth. Make sure you give us a like and a follow on whichever platform you're listening to or watching us on. And I am joined by my amazing co-host. We have Stephanie. Say hi, Steph.
I'm sorry.
Come on, pay attention.
All right, we have Brooks.
Heidi ho, neighbors.
And we have Kelton.
Hey, howdy, y'all.
All right, and I am Jenny. All right.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Hi, Jenny.
All right, we have a great episode today. We are going to be taking a little trip down memory lane since some of us are former cast members. We are so looking forward to this. So, yeah, buckle up. It's going to be a fun, fun ride. All right, but
buckle
first,
up, Buttercup.
First, we are going to have our trivia question. So, take it away, Brooks.
All right, everyone. Well, today's trivia question is brought to you by Fairytale Journeys Travel. Next time you want to book a Disney cruise, let the agents at Fairytale Journeys Travel take care of all the details for a stress-free experience at no additional cost to you. So when you book with them, not only do you get expert advice, but you can also receive up to $1,000 of onboard credit. This offer is only exclusive to bookings made with Fairytale Journeys Travel. So contact them today and let them know that the Mouse Ears Podcast sent you, and enjoy a magical Disney cruise getaway. All right. So the trivia question we have for today, what was the very first Walt Disney World ride to be replaced? Stay tuned to the end of the episode for the answer.
I think I have an idea on that one.
I mean, but there's so many parks, so many attractions.
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, 30, 40 years ago. So,
well,
be interesting.
I would like to take a moment before we get into this amazing list and our amazing topic. I'm so in love with this. Disney and Universal, man. There were some news and some specials and some just about everything in the last few days. You know, Disney came out with all kinds of announcements, and Universal literally said, hold my butterbeer. So.
Nice.
I like that.
So, yeah, it was a.
Cheers.
Yeah,
all the deals just kept hitting me in the face. I mean.
Yeah.
It's so many it coming was- at me like. Ooh, there's so it's like a freight train just hit me in the face.
I mean, it's true. Yesterday, I think it was like 7 something in the morning, and I'm already bombarding you guys like, y'all see this? Y'all see this? Guys, it's not stopping. It's on. There's more stuff coming our way. It was, ooh.
This and then was Universal so many,
had us on our pay toes. Attention to all the deals, and then a poll comes out of nowhere.
Oh, Brooks.
This.
I love it. All right. Well, today, like I said, we're going to take a little trip down memory lane, and we are going to discuss defunct Disney attractions that, you know, have been lost, and some of them we would love to have back. I don't think there's enough space for everything. Maybe there
lost, but
space.
Never forgotten.
Lost, but never forgotten.
Alien Encounter is about the only one I'm willing to forget.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You're not wrong there. You know, you're not alone.
I think of the Boys to Men song, It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday, with a lot of these.
But we can definitely give our opinions about some of these rides as we go through today's episode. Yeah. I'm so excited for it. And Jenny was so thrilled.
She wanted to do this episode so bad.
I did.
We had to come up on a fly and stumble through a first-time Disney Cruise episode.
Yeah.
That we wrote, like, on the spot.
It was a spontaneous episode since Jenny's Wi-Fi wasn't cooperating
that day.
It was
like,
and so we're like,
internet. Like, everything
was out.
That's what it was.
Everything was out. Yeah.
Well, either way, you know, it was decided we can't do this episode without her, especially with how bummed she was.
I was so upset. You know. I'm like, I am not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. It's just an episode. I'm not going to cry. And I was just sitting there kind of sulking, and I'm like, this just really sucks. And then I got the text message. It was like, hey, we're going to push it back a week. And then I did cry because I'm like, you guys are the best.
Oh, I love it.
I
love to hear it. Happy tears.
Happy tears.
The only tears we like on this episode, or on this show, I should say.
Or from, you know, laughing so hard, because that happens too.
Still happy tears.
Yeah,
only tears we like. We only accept sad tears upon leaving Walt Disney World. Or on Disney Cruise. Those are the only tears, sad tears acceptable.
Do you guys do like last look at the castle or wherever it is? Like, do you just do
and
then
and every single time without fail, I don't want to leave. Just I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I always tell Michael, I don't want to leave. When can we come back?
My kids are down there every time. Now, and they messaged me, and they're like, we're leaving Disney. I don't want to go. Let's move to Florida. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yes, Jen. Let's move to Florida, Jen.
Yeah.
How often do the three, Steph, not since you're already there, but how often do the three of us out of state continuously look on Zillow, Realtor.com, pick a website that sells homes, and just look in the Orlando area at houses to see maybe the prices went down?
I live here and I always look.
I do not do it multiple times a day.
I do it at least once a day.
I'm just saying, not multiple times.
You know what? That makes me happy. It makes me hopeful that there might be a future where you and Casey and Kenny come down.
Yeah.
I sit there and go, you know, maybe Casey would like St. Cloud.
That's where we looked at.
And they just built Harmony, but we can't afford Harmony. We can't even afford Melbourne anymore, and that's where I grew up. Now I'm kind of thinking maybe Point Siena, but I lived in Lakeland, and that's a far drive either way. I mean, you're an hour to any airport.
Let's go be neighbors with Laura in Vieira. 15 minutes from the port, 45 minutes from Walt Disney World.
I can't afford Vieira.
We can go to Rockledge. It's better, and it's right next to Vieira.
Clearly don't know Rockledge, but I need to be acquainted.
Do Rockledge.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to be acquainted. Nothing against Rockledge people.
But Rockledge
is
a good center location for everything around the area. Actually, we lived in a really nice little neighborhood in Rockledge.
That's one of the few. So, anyway.
Sorry. So far off topic.
You're so off topic.
Well, this is a podcast about all things real estate, but mostly Florida.
Logo switch.
Brooks, you never told us. How often do you look at Orlando homes?
Oh, I said at least once a day.
He did.
So. I did not hear that. I'm so sorry. But you know what? That also makes me really happy and hopeful. Jen, we got to work on your daily checkings.
Okay, everybody. If you are looking for a house in the Orlando area, contact us. We can let you know what's out there. I'm just saying.
We will tell you where to live and mainly where not to live.
Exactly.
And where we would like to live.
Yeah. If money was no object, oh, I'll tell you where, Golden Oaks.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. We call that gumball money. Yeah, that is some gumball money.
I love
Celebration
that.
Too.
Celebration those would be nice. Yeah. And
but those are big houses.
So
it'd be nice if we
10 minutes from Disney.
It's nice.
We're also 10 minutes into this episode and we have not talked about any defunct attractions yet.
All right, let's get to the defunct attractions.
Well, I mean, defunct, y'all used to live in Florida. I'm the only one that hasn't lived in Florida.
That hurts.
That was mean.
I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Here.
I know I'm defunct.
All of y'all take one good shot in my face.
No. No.
We love you. We love you.
Listen, if you were here in the great state of Florida, I would bring you some aloe from my aloe plant for your face.
If I was in Florida, I would have not had hit that pole.
Probably not.
You probably still would have.
For those of you listening on like Apple or Spotify not watching us, our dear old Brooks.
What are you doing?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 2025. Get on YouTube, people. Come on, man.
Dear old Brooks had a run-in with a pole with all my distracting text messages on the news happening.
Literally.
Not even joking. So
I was on the phone with my brother too. Oh, as he listened to me run face first. I'll send y'all a picture of the pole. So the pole like I hit comes out of the main pole and it blends in. And I continue to stay on the phone with him.
Wait. We need to know from your brother. Did you curse?
No. I did not.
Are you kidding me? There's so many words I would have dropped.
I went, that hurt.
Jacob, tell us the truth. You mean to tell me?
Brooks does not curse. He has many matatas, but cursing is not one of them.
Well, what's funny is I walked by that pole again today, and I was talking to Kelsey on the phone. And I'm like, I have taken a large step to the left. I am walking slowly past the pole. I am focused on looking forward. I'm taking the Walt Disney approach. Keep moving forward.
This is actually really
funny. I did that too, but the pole stopped me. But anyway, back to defunct rides, everyone.
Start off in Magic Kingdom and on...
Getting back on track.
Pivot.
Man, we got to do it now or it's not going to happen.
We'll have to push it back to next week.
Thanks for joining us,
everyone.
That's
it for the Mouse Ears podcast.
All right, we're going to start with an attraction that I have never been on. Believe it or not, I never got the chance to do this and I'm really sad about it. But 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which ran from 1971 to 1994. It was a submarine where guests dove under the water, to see mermaids and sea creatures and even the lost city of Atlantis. And I never got to do this.
Kelton,
I'll say this.
Did you do it? No.
I was 3.
No, okay, now I feel
there's
old.
There's a strong potential because we started going to Disney when I was young. But, Mother, if you listen, what year did we go to Disney? Because I don't remember.
So I never was on, but that was before my time. I will say that when I told Michael that we were doing the defunct episode today, he's like, oh my gosh, I would have loved to have been on the episode. I'm like, well, tough.
He's like, the and now one and we only have Mike.
The one and only attraction he mentioned to me was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and he was like, oh my gosh, I would talk all day, all episode about 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, because I distinctly remember going on that multiple times and being one of his like favorite rides back when he was going in younger years. So I can't say that I've been. So sorry. I have nothing else to contribute other than Mike's experience.
Well, did you know that I believe on the marathon runs, they still have a ride vehicle or two that they pull out for props, for pictures. Mm-hmm. So you can still see that attraction 31 years later.
That's awesome.
You just have to run a marathon.
I will say this. I'll be honest, I've tried to find it and I've been unsuccessful. But the current Little Mermaid ride, where 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea used to be, does have a quote-unquote hidden Mickey where the rock sculptures show, and I think it's by Ariel's Grotto, kind of have a sculpture-looking thing of the Nautilus. So, if you've seen it, if you've taken a picture, send it to us. We'd love to see it, because I still can't find it. It is a very, very hidden Mickey for me.
Well, it would be a hidden Nautilus. That's why you can't find it.
Probably.
Well, it actually, so I remember, I'm the older one of the group, Gen X. I remember going so many times and walking by and seeing the beautiful blue water and everything underneath. And it was just stunning. I'm like, I really need to go on that. This is way back before fast passes were a thing. And that line was long. Okay. It was long and it was hot and, you know, it's Florida. So I never went on it. And then it closed and now I don't get the chance to go on it. So that's one thing I really regret is not ever going on it. It closed due to maintenance cost and it was not ADA friendly. So it kind of had to go. So it was replaced by Ariel's Grotto and then it was Pooh's Playful Spot. And then the attraction that we all know and love took its place and that is Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Love it.
And fun fact too, they did take two of the vehicles and sunk them in the snorkeling lagoon at Castaway Key.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go
two places. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can go snorkeling and go look at them. And then, but only one of the two still exists. One was destroyed actually by hurricane weather.
Those pesky hurricanes.
But then they actually pieced together a third one because most of them they actually stripped and buried in a landfill. They put it. Yep, it's in storage and taken out and displayed at various Disney events.
So. I will say this though, if you've been on the. Forgot the name, but the Finding Nemo submarine attraction over in Disneyland, it's the closest thing to what we used to have out here in World for 20,000 Leagues with the attraction vehicle and just like that experience, which I liked, but a lot of people can get claustrophobic. On that note, on to the next one.
So one, this is probably my least favorite attraction. One of my least favorite, and I know everyone loves it, so do not come for me, but Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which was from 1971 to 1998.
You said you didn't like it?
I did not like it. It's described as a wacky dark ride based on Wind in the Willows, featuring chaotic driving and an infamous trip to a place down under that we probably can't mention on here.
Australia.
Yeah, not that place down under.
But it still does exist in Disneyland.
It does. I just didn't like, it was very whippy. It would whip you around a lot. There was a lot of jerky motion to it, and I just was not a fan. Like, I couldn't, concentrate on it. There is one of the ride vehicles in the co-op at Disney Springs. So if you want to go and see that, you can see that. And it was replaced by The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, which is still going strong.
I didn't mind it, but I will say it is dark.
Yeah.
It is dark, or was dark. I'm referring to the one in Disneyland, which is the one that I experienced. I did not get to experience this one. Or if I did, I don't remember. Ooh, I was only two when it closed, or one and a half.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Making me feel old.
I know.
Well, guys, yeah. I'm here to make you feel young.
So you do, you know, for the people out there who may not know, as soon as you board your ride vehicle, right, and you start going, as soon as you go in and make that first right, go ahead and crank your back all the way around over your left shoulder, and you can see the picture of Mr. Toad himself handing off the deed of the attraction to the one and only Mr. Owl, right? I think, yes.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
It's right, right as you enter the house.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, I'll have to look at it next time. I do know that Mr. Toad is in the graveyard, the animal graveyard, in the exit of the Haunted Mansion at Walt Disney World, paying tribute to his no longer there ride at Walt Disney World.
Probably there with Little Red, too.
Wow. You know who I thought was supposed to be there was Briar Rabbit. Is he supposed to be there? I thought he was supposed to be there.
Maybe they'll put him there.
Maybe. Maybe it was just a rumor. But either way, that's Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Wild indeed.
Wild.
Yep. This one I was waiting for.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of my big ones.
All right. I loved this. Again, very long line for this. Skyway to Tomorrowland from 1971. It closed in 1999. It was a gondola-style ride that had guests. It was like an aerial view of Fantasyland and Tomorrowland. And it was great. It was open air. And you just kind of cruised across the lands and the parks, and it was very relaxing. I loved that ride. Loved it.
Now, in Tomorrowland, right above the restrooms, just past Joffrey's, so y'all know where I'm at when I say Joffrey's. Mm-hmm. Yep. It used to be one of the stations, and I believe the other station was actually the Rapunzel bathrooms now.
Yep.
What a waste of space. I said it. That is just a disgrace to Rapunzel. She gets a bathroom. She deserves more.
She does deserve
more. She deserves more. It is one of the best bathrooms in that park.
It is one of the best bathrooms. 100%.
100%. I want a snuggly duckling like tavern. Whatever it's called. That's what I want. I don't want a bathroom. I want a snuggly duckling. Whatever it's called. You guys understand what I'm saying.
We understand what you're saying. They said that it closed due to maintenance issues, and it was down. Not often, but I guess it was down enough. However, not long before it closed down, someone did jump out of it near the teacups. And I think that might have safety concerns, might have played a part in its closing.
It was an open basket, basically. Yeah. Unlike the Skyliner that we know today that is completely enclosed.
But someone has
one person
out of
had
it.
To ruin it.
Yeah,
one person had to ruin it for the rest of us.
Yep. Alrighty. Moving on. Snow
but
White.
It did inspire the Skyliner that we
it
have
did.
Today.
And I love the Skyliner.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
That is...
And I'm afraid of heights, but I love the Skyliner.
Yeah. But we're going to take it as we're not afraid of heights, we're afraid of falling.
Yes.
That's what we're going to go with.
Yes.
All right, next. Snow White's Scary Adventures, which ran from 1971 to 2012. This was a dark ride that brought guests face-to-face with the Evil Queen, with her spooky surprises. It is now Princess Fairy Tale Hall, about, you know, a complete 180 from what it was. It officially closed due to being too scary. That ride would terrify children. Terrify. You'd see kids coming out of there crying.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to bring something similar like that when they do the Villains Land.
I hope so.
They'll bring something like that back.
I like where your head's at.
I hope so.
So
I kind of think it was a rite of passage.
Kelton, did you go on it?
So I was just trying to look at, you know, when it closed. Yes, I did. But it closed like 4 months right before I became a cast member. So not as a cast member, but yeah, I mean, I do remember, you know, going on it after graduating high school and all that stuff. At least, I mean, that's as far back as I can remember, to be honest. But, you know, so it could definitely scare a kid or three easily.
It was intense. I wonder if there is, I don't know, maybe there is a ride through video somewhere on the internet.
Oh, yeah, in 2012? Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. 2012,
yeah. Yeah. It was terrifying for, I remember my kids being scared on it. All right, the next one. If you had wings or Delta Dreamflight. So it was if you had wings, and that closed in 1987, and then it went to Delta Dreamflight, which didn't last very long. It was from 1989 to 1998, and it was an Omnimover ride through travel destinations. It became Buzz Lightyear. And so it basically the same kind of ride car, you know, where it just kept moving, and that room where there's the red lasers, and then you're shooting Zerg and all of that, and you're like going down that just that long straight hallway. They used to have, it was like a white light that spun beams of light there, and it used to make me really dizzy. But it wasn't very popular. It just, you know, it just wasn't popular.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
All right. Mickey's Toontown Fair.
This one hurts.
I'm sorry. This was a kid-friendly land that featured Mickey and his friends' houses. It was reimagined into Storybook Circus as part of the new Fantasyland. I miss Mickey's Toontown Fair.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Storybook Circus, no go in my book. No go in my
kids,
sorry, y'all.
But to me, that's just terrifying. What part of a circus screams kid friendly? No, no, no. The red and the white? No. I liked the color. I loved walking through Mickey and Minnie's houses. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so simple, but it was fantastic. I loved it.
And they had that playground right there outside.
Yeah.
Oh, my kids love that playground.
Yeah. Even now, they've got the Snuffleupagus elephants thing.
Yeah.
They're cute, but it's just, I don't know. I feel like they're trying too hard.
That whole area back there in Storybook Circus, it really is underutilized. And then they go and put in two Dumbos, and most of the time on a normal day, maybe 15-minute wait to do it.
It's a miss. It's a miss.
It really is. Then you go and put meeting Minnie, Daisy, Donald, and Goofy in the very back corner of the park. Like, that was not the right move for Disney.
Yeah, after being to Mickey's Toontown over in Disneyland.
Yeah.
Did you know? I know you guys haven't been. But they have Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway in Mickey's Toontown over in Disneyland. It makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Who thought that was going to be a hit?
Oh, okay. We'll get to that one at Studios.
Okay. Yeah.
And you would think, too, like, if you had mentioned these two, you would think it would almost be reversed. Like, first there was a circus, and then, oh, they decided to bring in IP and do the Toontown Fair. But
Yeah.
No, it I'm sorry. I'm not a fan. I have nothing nice to say about
Storybook Circus. Ellie, we have Ellie and we skip it.
I have two pro tips for this. I have two pro tips if you were back in that area. First, there is a
walk out.
There is a walkway. There is a walkway from there straight to Tron. From in the back, straight to Tron. It's also shaded, and if it's usually quiet, so if your kids want to stay outside and just kind of run around a little bit, they can run around on that walkway and really not be in anyone's way. Also, Dumbo has an indoor, if you're in the standby line, Dumbo has that indoor play area. Well, I think it might also be if you're in the lightning lane, but it has an indoor play area and the kids can play in there as long as they want. You just go about halfway through the ride and it's a big indoor play area that is air conditioned. So if you're back there on a really hot day and your kids are cranky and you're cranky and you want some AC quickly, you can hop into that line and you can do that. That's the only good thing I have to say about it.
They have the mini splash pad, which goodness knows plenty of times at the park in the middle of the summer, or really most days in Florida when it's hot, and I just want a little splash of water.
A little spritz.
Not that you'll find me at Storybook Circus unless I'm getting off of the train there. Yeah, that I think that's a little something extra to mention.
Yeah. I'm curious for our listeners and our watchers. Do you agree with us? I just want to know. Put it in the comments. Do you agree with us? All right, the next one. And I think we might be unanimous on this being good riddance. Alien Encounter from 1995 to 2003. Terrifyingly intense theater experience featuring an escaped alien that may have eaten some audience members before it was reimagined as Stitch's Great Escape.
Terrifyingly intense is a great description.
Those bars that come down on your shoulders hurt. I'm just saying. Oh, yeah.
I only went on that one once. Just once. And I was like, nope. Nope. Then I went to The Replacement. I still didn't like it. I was like, nope. We'll talk about The Replacement next.
This is one that honestly, it closed a year before I started going to Disney, and I really wish I could have gone on it.
What part of it makes you wish you would have been on it?
I like scary movies. Like, I like, to me, just sound, I like a good scare, so.
It was.
Like that poll?
Yeah. Oh, my stars.
You probably saw him, too.
Yeah. You know when you get hit so hard and your hearing, like, gets muffled for a second?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, sir. Oh, sir.
I did not like this.
It was a xenomorph.
I thought like, that it was...
Basically, it was an alien from Alien.
Yeah, but it was...
Yeah.
It was so gross. Like, the alien would escape, obviously, you know. And then it would, you know, they had it, like, running around. Like, they had Stitch running around up there. But he would, like, eat people.
Oh, so it was
but
tough
when
to
he
be above.
Bit into the person, like, you got sprayed with water, like, their guts were going to be on you. I just didn't find it very Disney. It just didn't seem to be very Disney. Y'all, I am not having, like, an earthquake or anything. The cat is on my thing. Sorry.
Earthquake in North Carolina.
Buzz was trying. Buzz was trying to get off my desk.
It's like a helicopter.
So,
but, yeah.
It was just.
I remember
gross.
It being like very dark.
It was
very dark, and you had the flashing lights too, and you just didn't know what was gonna happen. Like if you'd never been on it before, you didn't know what to expect or where it was gonna come out or who it was gonna grab.
Now I say this. I wish I could have gone on it. I definitely understand why they changed it, and I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did.
You're not wrong there, but
I do wish I could have
1995 to 2003. Yeah.
I'm surprised. Surprised it lasted as long as it did, and I do wish I could have gone.
Well, I'll say this. The update to that one was not much better.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's hysterical.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's hysterical. People, watch us on YouTube. You're missing out on some phenomenal live entertainment. On to the next gen.
So then we can just skip Stitch's Great Escape and just not talk about it then, right?
So, you know. I thought it was terrible too.
Yeah.
What upsets me is that we're still waiting for replacement when there's so many fantastic movies that could replace it. Like
I want
Big
Meet
Hero
the
6, for instance.
I want
or Meet the Robinsons.
I want Meet the Robinsons.
That's amazing.
There.
Meet it's the an Robinsons underrated movie. Would fit in so well with honestly the current Tomorrowland. It would fit in mm-hmm. so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just Stitch's Great Escape replaced Alien Encounter. It was operational in Tomorrowland between 2004 and 2018, clearly with only a year or less than a year to turn it around from Alien Encounter to Stitch's Great Escape, doesn't really give them Imagineers a lot of space for a new revamp. And basically, the Stitch replaced the alien, which Stitch is also an alien, but you get what I'm saying. What is that word? I don't even know that
maligned.
Word.
Maligned.
Maligned? Is that what it is?
Yeah, maligned.
Oh, I don't know that word. People, don't come at me. The much maligned replacement for Alien Encounter, this interactive attraction featured Experiment 626, aka Stitch, causing mischief, but was eventually closed permanently. Good
and
riddance.
It was constantly closed.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was down a lot.
Yeah.
Disney. What is in the works? Every year with D23, I'm like waiting to see, are they going to finally put, like right now, all it is, it's like a stroller parking spot for Tomorrowland. It's such a waste of space. It's a waste of space. But
it is.
Where are you supposed to put the strollers?
Not there. Like they don't even, like they have it as like a sometimes pop-up character meet and greet. But not even. It makes me mad. It makes me mad. There's so much they can do there. Kelton, are you grooving?
I have a honorable mention for the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Ooh. Ooh.
One that I didn't even think of until we were talking about Stitch's Great Escape, which I don't know why that came up. How about the Plaza Swan Boats out on Main Street?
Yes. Yes, that was on my list of honorable mentions. So, sorry.
Because that was one that, I mean, Brooks, you may have been born for it, but like just barely at that point.
Yeah. 86?
Yeah, maybe not.
No.
I definitely remember seeing pictures of those.
73 to 83. They closed down in 83. Yeah. Low capacity.
Like you think I'm in my 40s. Thank you, Kelton.
Well, boats generally do not do well at Magic Kingdom, it seems, because the Mike Fink keel boats, they went around Tom Sawyer Island. There were safety concerns and low demand. And the keel boats at Liberty Square, which were very similar, but they were closed for operational efficiency. But my honorable mention for this is Astro Orbiter, which right now just does not exist. The kids called me when they were there and they were like, where's Astro Orbiter? It is completely gone.
It is. It's not permanently gone. It's not permanently gone. Jeez. It's just getting a huge overhaul.
Yeah. Which I'm excited about. We almost lost Savannah on that ride. And she almost flew out. It was scary. That was scary. That's my scary ride. All right, let's move over to Epcot. Horizons from 1983 to 1999. This was a beloved ride. All right, it showcased a hopeful vision.
Still to this day.
Yep. a hopeful vision of the future, often considered to be the spiritual successor to Walt's vision for Epcot. I remember doing this ride once when we went down to sing in Candlelight. I think it was in 1995. I think I've only done this attraction once.
If I went on it, I don't remember, but I do know that diehard Epcot fans still mention Horizons to this day. Like, it is one of those things that even though it's gone, it's never truly gone because people loved this ride.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then especially and what it was replaced by.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, Mission Space was popular at that time for a while. I do remember, like, watching the videos on, like, Disney Channel because you had, like, the astronauts that came in and, you know, there was, like, a whole segment on it. But it's funny because even now, like, I'll talk to some of my aunts who haven't been to Epcot in, like, years and years. And they're like, oh, what's in the Horizon area? Like, it's not even like a, you know, now that's World Discovery. Ugh.
Yeah.
No, where Horizon was. That's how they still refer to it as. Yeah. That one hurt, I think, a lot of people. That one hurt a lot of people.
I was a cast member during that time. When Mission Space opened. So I was a cast member there. And yeah, there were a lot of astronauts that came, and it was really big when it first opened, but now, you know, not so much, and definitely can't handle the orange anymore. So
I go on it by myself because there's not a lot of people that do dare to go on it.
I'll do the green.
Pro tip, if you see a line of more than 15 minutes for Mission Space, that means it's a very busy day at Epcot.
Avoid Epcot.
Yeah. Alrighty, next one, World of Motion, 1982 to 1996, humorous journey through the history of transportation, which fittingly was replaced by Test Track. Also, they're going to throw in nods to World of Motion in the Test Track refurb, which hopefully soon. Soon. May? June? May?
They said spring.
Yeah.
Originally. July. Yeah.
I'm going to go with June.
They also said spring for the Spaceship Earth Lounge, but they just filed the permits a couple weeks ago, so...
Yeah.
We shall see.
Probably 2029 before that's open. Universal could build a whole new park.
Ooh. I do think that... So, I remember when the Test Track refurb was announced at D23, the ruckus, and I'm talking the happy ruckus of the fans. They were thrilled. Someone yelled... Finally, in the crowd audibly, I don't know if you guys remember, this was recorded, someone yelled finally because it was that important for true Epcot fans for Test Track to get a refurb and to have the nod to World of Motion that, you know, basically was the OG Test Track. People loved that ride too. I mean, truly Epcot is one of those where like, and we're going to go through all the rides that are of days past. And I honestly want to say most of them, if not all of them, hurt a lot of people. People still relish in memories of these past attractions. And World of Motion is just another one of those. So the fact that Disney's listening, and like Walt said, the parks will never be done. There's always something new ahead. But... truly, Epcot is like iconic in so many ways. So I am excited for this ride to open up again because I did not get to experience World of Motion. Heard a lot about it. So I'm very curious to go back on it, especially with you, Jen, since you've been on it. I would love to hear firsthand us going on it and you telling me what's, you know, what to you resonates with World of Motion.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm one of those that's really excited. All right, this one is, it's still there, but it's a lot different. It had a complete overhaul. Journey into Imagination from 1983. The original version closed in 1998. It was Figment and Dreamfinder's imaginative adventure. It was drastically changed in the 90s, and this was another one that fans did not take well. Yeah, did not take well. I think I prefer the original. As most people would say that they do if they've experienced
it. I don't know why a single person that would say they prefer the new version over if they've seen videos of the original. Mm-hmm. That would say, oh, I prefer the new version.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. All
right. Have a discussion in the comments.
Yeah. Discuss amongst yourselves there. Body Wars, 1989 to 2007. This was a motion simulator ride, very similar to Star Tours, except you were shrunk down and you traveled through the human body. I have to say that pavilion, I don't remember what the name of it is. That pavilion was amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm sorry it's so shaky. All these cats are driving me crazy.
Are you good?
But it was really cool. I think that was a cool ride. It was a good learning thing. I kind of miss that about Epcot, all the learning that you could go and do there.
Yeah.
All right. Next on the list, of course, is it? I can't ever pronounce this. Is it the Maelstrom?
Maelstrom.
Yeah. Look at me go. 1988 to 2014, it was a thrilling Viking boat ride in Norway, later transformed into Frozen Ever After.
I have a hot take.
Okay.
This ride never saw a line more than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Lies.
Except when they announced its closure. What is the big deal over this attraction?
I'll tell you what I loved about the attraction. I loved that mural that you would see when you would load into the boat. That mural, I remember just like staring at it and looking at all the different pieces, and that, loved it. I associate Maelstrom with that beautiful artwork too. The trolls, creepy as they were, loved them. I'm so glad they have the troll in the store. So creepy, but again, can't have Norway without the troll. Other than that, yeah, I don't know. It's one of very few attractions that have any kind of a drop in Epcot. And at the time, I was such a scaredy cat, so the fact that I was able to go on it and actually do any kind of a drop, kind of like Pirates, I felt victorious. So, yeah. I do miss Maelstrom. Really? It was like the only roller coaster, not even roller coaster ride I would go on.
So, I mean, I do bring good news. You can still ride Maelstrom. It's the exact same attraction, y'all. Just saying. I know.
But without the creepy troll, instead you get Marshmallow the Giant Snowman.
Hey man, I love Marshmallow.
He's cool. He's cool peeps and all his little people.
Snowglees?
Snowman people.
Snowglees?
Whatever they're called. They're so cute.
I don't know what they're called. Adorable.
I get it. I understand. Anytime Disney takes away something that we've all grown up on or, you know, is deep in the heart, I understand. It's just Maelstrom was the one that I'm like, really? Like, we're crying over that when, you know, like, they took away Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. Come on, like, sorry. I got, Yeah, I know. I just can't do it.
All right. Next on the list are the Interventions Building. So 1994 to 2019, this was a futuristic exhibit space that showcased emerging tech before being replaced with new interactive play areas. I have mixed feelings about this. I was never really an Interventions fan. But during some of the festivals, they would have some special things going on in there, especially for like Flower and Garden. They would do all kinds of, you know, like classes and stuff, which I thought was cool. I also think it was a huge waste of space. So I'm not really thrilled with all the changes in that area of Epcot. So,
I mean, I thought... You know, it was that it was all part of the future world whole mm-hmm. portion. And so I understand Innovations being there. I'm with you. I have mixed feelings on Innovations.
I'm very mixed. we're just going to move on from that one. Ellen's Energy Adventure. A slow moving ride starring Ellen DeGeneres and Bill Nye exploring the history of energy replaced by Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. And Ellen's was open from 1996 to 2017. So it was open for quite a while. I thought Ellen's was fun. However, I will trade that any day to have Guardians.
Absolutely. But, you know, I go back to what I said about Maelstrom.
Yeah.
Never saw it over 10 minutes, really, unless it was a busy day at Epcot, like around the holidays.
Yeah.
And then people, you know, did the exact same thing. However, so when Casey and I started dating, we would go on dates to wherever, I mean, Disney World, to be honest. Our favorite thing to do was to go over and get frozen margaritas from the margarita stand outside Mexico, not inside the pyramid, but outside. Mm-hmm. Chug them down as fast as you can and then go on Ellen's, because you'd get that, you know, adult beverage buzz, and it made the ride even better. Just hopefully you could make it, because it was a 45 minute attraction.
Yeah, it was a very long ride, but it was in the air conditioning.
Well, and before Ellen's Energy, it was Universe of Energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I know the oh man, what? And see, I'm blanking on the Epcot nighttime show right after Illuminations, but before Harmonious. The new one that had replaced, was it Epcot Forever?
I think it was Epcot that, Forever.
Yeah, I think
Epcot
so, yes.
Forever that had nods to all the old attractions with their songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know a lot of people hated on Epcot Forever. I really loved it for the songs, because the new attractions now, yes, they are, I feel like, technically superior, but you don't have the theme songs. It's like TV shows today. Like back in the early 90s, you had that epic theme song coming in, like Family Matters, Step by mm-hmm. Step, you know, DuckTales that you still sing today, Tales. But the one of the best theme songs of all time. But now they just go in, they may do like a 5 second little, not even a 5 second little doo doo doo, and then they go into the episode. Like, come on, bring back theme songs. Sorry.
Yeah.
Nothing really like a good theme song.
Brooks, tell us how you really feel there, my friend.
Let me all tell right. you. It's like a slap in the face that they take Gosh. It away.
All right. This is one that you guys probably have not heard of. This was my favorite attraction in probably all of Disney World. Okay, it was the Kitchen Cabaret, which ran from 1982 to 1994. It was located in the Land Pavilion, and it was kind of a big puppet show, and it healthy food, and it was y'all. Anyone who knows this, y'all back me up in the comments, okay? Because veggie, veggie, fruit, fruit.
Veggie, veggie, fruit.
When I veggie, talk veggie, about veggie, fruit, forever, fruit is the song.
I talk about every cup. Yeah.
The song, hands down. But it was a little musical show, and it was so much fun. It was replaced by Soarin'. I was very sad to see this go. I loved that show. Loved it. Final one for Epcot, Captain EO, which later became Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. We'll have a moment for those two. I wasn't really a huge fan of Captain EO, but I loved Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah, with Captain EO too, it was that iconic visual, like Michael Jackson, the rainbow hallway. Like, I just want to go through that tunnel.
Yeah.
Just one time. I know they have it somewhere, and I want to go through it.
I really think that those shows or those attractions, they really captured the essence of Epcot and of progress, and of gave us a little bit of a taste of what they could do on a large scale with a large scale audience, with the effects and with the 3D and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the things that we have now maybe stemmed from that. I'd like to think so, because they really were cutting edge for that time. So thank you, Captain EO and Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. We shall miss you.
Well, folks, that just about does it for part one of this week's episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. Don't forget to join our Mouse Ears Podcast Facebook group and follow us on TikTok, X, and Instagram to stay up to date for all things travel, but mostly Disney. If you're interested in having a Fairytale Journeys agent book your next trip, visit fairytalejourneys.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you enjoy our weekly episodes of the Mouse Ears Podcast, we would love for you to leave us a review wherever you listen to us or watch us if you're on YouTube. But until the next episode, which will be coming out later on this week, thanks everyone. Bye.